Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 83, the fourth paragraph. If we are painstaking through, economic insecurity will leave us. Comments will be on the eighth sentence, self-seeking will slip away. Through fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Penny L.C., 12 Traditions, Alana M., readers, Stephanie L., Christine M., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,642. And Wednesday, July 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 11,649. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Gina, and thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Passed.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. I will now ask Alana M. to read the 12 traditions, OAs.
Thanks. My name is Alana M., and I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Canada. These are our 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but others may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Go ahead.
And thank you, Alana M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 83, fourth paragraph. If we are painstaking, through economic insecurity will leave us. Comments are on the eighth sentence, beginning self-seeking will slip away, through fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. I will ask Stephanie L. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. And you know, when I found out what I would be reading this morning, I was having breakfast with my husband, and I looked at him like, oh gosh, you know, I still suffer from some selfishness, and you know, I've got some economic insecurity. And you know what he reminded me of, and my husband is in this program too, what he reminded me of is these promises don't promise perfection. And if I look at where I am today versus where I was almost 3 years ago when I was in relapse, it is so different for me today. Does selfishness crop up? Absolutely, because I'm human. I'm not promised to become perfect. If I was perfect, I would be, you know, I would be God. But this, you know, self-seeking and clawing and stepping on people and manipulating and trying to get my way and not caring and feeling justified, I'm no longer that person. And my whole attitude and outlook upon my life has changed. My life is completely different today. And then my husband reminded me this economic insecurity. I left a six-figure job to go back to school, and today today I am a college student, and I don't have an income, and our life has changed completely. And guess what? I'm not scared. I have trusted my higher power that I will be taken care of, and I continue to be taken care of. So, you know, at first when I read those three sentences and thought, oh gosh, this is, you know, what do I have to share about this? And, you know, I'm reminded that you know, through working these steps and through making these amends and really looking at my part and cleaning up my side of the street, I've, you know, in doing that block between me and my higher power, every day that wall, another brick is taken out of that wall. And, you know, I am changed. My attitude about my life today is completely different as a result of what my higher power is doing in my life, not what I have done. I show up and I'm willing to make that amends that I swore I would never, ever make in my whole life. Or I'm willing to do the work that's laid out for me in this book, which is sometimes hard work, but so is being in my disease. And as a result of showing up, my higher power is changing me. You know, I am changed, not because of my power, because of this amazing power in my life that I can connect with and I can be open to. And that is amazing. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I am a woman under construction today. And that's why as we get into steps 10 through 12, those are so important for me on a daily basis. And I am very, very grateful for what has been done in my life today. So thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L., for your service. Okay, who would like to share on what was read?
Melissa C.
Penny L. C. Kathleen O.
John K.
Karen R. from North Carolina.
Y'all are so orderly this morning. Very nice. Is there another one that would like to come in on this grouping? Okay, well, let's go with these five. Here's who I heard. Let me know if I missed anybody. Melissa C.
Can you just tell us where we're at, please?
Yes, hold on. I'll tell you the lineup first. Melissa C., Penny L. C., Kathleen O., John K., and Karen R. And we are on page 83, the fourth paragraph, starting with if we are painstaking, and we are reading through onto page 84, and we are commenting on the eighth sentence, stopping with fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. Melissa C., please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Am I able to be heard?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, so like the fear that gets removed is a result of the amends. You know, like I have to keep stressing that for myself, you know, so that I know that it's the result of some difficult work. And so like back when I was, in the disease and I would get bills and never open them. You know, I didn't want to look at them. And I was terrified of them. You know, there's nothing worse than the phone ringing. And you're hiding, a grown up is hiding in her own home, you know, from picking up the phone. And some of those things that I was so terrified of, it was like, you know, it was a $500 bill, you know, that was, that I was avoiding. You know, it was enough of those to make me feel like I was hiding in my own house. And, you know, like, so like, one of the greatest things is just answering the phone, your creditor's call, grow up, answer the call, make the best possible arrangement you can, start paying off your bills. And then when the phone rings, I'm not afraid. You know, even today, like, I can overlook. I overlooked a bill. It was a mistake, but I don't hide. You know, so like the oil company called and they're like, oh, you know, you haven't made a payment. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. You know, I'm not afraid anymore. Whether I have all the money in my account or not is beside the point. You know, and the same thing with people, that fear of people. There are some amends I made that, they didn't go well. Those people did not want to forgive me, give me the time of day. But, you know, and there's one in particular, I run into her from time to time, and I can look at her in the face. I can even greet her warmly. I'm not afraid. And it's really the result of being a grown-up, owning my part, saying where I was wrong, and doing my best to right it. And thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Penny LC, you're next, followed by Kathleen O. Go ahead, Penny.
I have a question. I thought I'd understood that we are starting on the eighth sentence, self-seeking will slip away.
We're commenting on that sentence. The rest of it is for context.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just wanted to clarify.
Sure.
Thank you. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And what a sponsor shared with me at one time, and it's a little hard to track it, but it does work, is that there are actually 12 promises in this section, and that there's a way to relate them to each of the steps. And that's always been interesting to me. And when I think about self-seeking slipping away, you know, I had to be willing to do that, to be able to be willing to look at the amends that I owed as if that was the eighth promise to go with the eighth step. And the ninth, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. You know, I never wanted to make amends to anybody. I didn't want to have to admit that I was wrong. And yet I was willing, thanks to the transformation that happens in this program. That's where, you know, I could do things differently today. And then we'll intuitively know how to handle situations which fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Yes, because, you know, I am turning my will and my life over to a care of my higher power. And the blessing in that, you know, is just being able to know that, you know, for today, I can trust and rely on my higher power. And I can continue to take that personal inventory and look at myself and be willing to make adjustments when I get off track again. And intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Well, there is my prayer and meditation. I'm able to go to God and ask for direction. And finally, suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I was never one to want to be of service to the degree that I am today. You know, I would do it if it was self-serving. But today I can be of service without an agenda, simply because I know it's my purpose in life and that I've learned that that's my God's will for me today. So my whole outlook and my whole perspective has changed. And it's thanks to the grace of my higher power and the miracle of working these steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Kathleen O, you're next, followed by John K. Kathleen, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And good morning, everyone. These promises are, you know, when they talk about a new happiness and a new freedom, it comes in getting all of these. And it's really amazing to experience these. I just never thought I would. And the self-seeking will slip away. So it doesn't mean it disappears entirely because I am human. But I just don't go there very often anymore. And that's where I lived prior to doing these steps. I was only interested in what was in it for me. How is it going to benefit me? Selfish. It's all about me. That ism that we have, I, self, me. You know, if it doesn't have to do with me, then I'm not going to do anything with it. And it's so nice to not be there and to be useful and to help others, and not just in, you know, struggling with compulsive overeating, but just in life in general. You know, how can I be useful? How can I help others? And when I do that, you can't help but have selfishness and self-seeking start to go away and just not be living in that anymore. And that's truly what brings me the happiness and freedom that I get from this program. And, you know, it's really hard to talk about this stuff when you experience it without sounding like life is perfect and rosy, because it's not, but it is so much better. And fear does come up, but I tell you, what's really amazing is I don't stay there very long. I have a higher power and I practice constantly when the fear comes up. I turn it over. I trust and rely on my higher power that everything's going to be okay. And I have so many examples of, you know, things where I think, oh my gosh, I made a stupid financial decision, but I just trust and rely on God and think, am I supposed to be learning something from this? And somehow in the end, it always turns out okay. And just being able to trust and waiting and realizing, oh, this is what I learned from that helped me in another area. These steps are really amazing. And I just encourage everyone to keep trudging the road of happy destiny, because it is work, but the happy destiny is absolutely there. And this does work. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. John K., you're next, followed by Karen R., and then after Karen, I will take a new grouping. So if you want to share, get ready to press star 1. Please go ahead, John.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is John Karen, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank everybody on Team Wednesday. You know, I want to talk about the economic insecurity part. It got me really thinking this morning. You know, economic insecurity versus economic security. You know, if you think about it, there are a lot. Both of them are a lot like control, in that they're all illusions anyway, aren't they? Really? You know, economic security is still in a lot of ways an illusion. I've worked for myself since like 1984, and when I tell it to friends, they are like, oh my God, I could never do that. It's just too insecure a thing. I need to go work at a company and get a paycheck. And I say, yeah, I can understand. You'd work at a company. Let's say it's the number 3 company in America, and you go in to work every day in a huge skyscraper that building takes up in a big city. Now, think for a minute that company is called Enron. And these people who thought they had wonderfully secure jobs showed up one day, and there was a key in the door, a lock in the door, you know, and they couldn't get in. And I realized, and you realize that so much of this is just illusory. And you have to find a way to have some faith, or else you're going to go nuts. You know, I work for myself, and I recently lost my primary client. And you know, my income dropped precipitously. And now I'm human, like was just said. You know, it's not like it's this old rosy, and so the thoughts creep in. And, you know, it's human. And in my mind, I don't just go to, hey, I may have to run a balance on my credit card, which I usually don't. No, in my mind, I'm living in a box under a bridge. You know, I'm selling oranges at the end of the off ramp. And the thing is, after this amount of time in program, it just makes me laugh when these thoughts pop in my head. I would say to my brain, okay, you having fun? Are you done with the drama here? But I don't think I can easily stop those knee-jerk reactions, because those were stamped in my brains from my crazy childhood, you know. But luckily, the recovered person in this brain is now able to stop the fall, you know. But it comes from having some kind of faith, because like I said, if you think about how many things in the world, if you ever really stop and realize how many of the things you think of are secure are really not, and they're just done so that I think our brains can handle the fact that our lives could turn on a dime at any moment for any number of reasons. And I trust now my higher power has my back. You know, I'm 62 years old. Nothing life has thrown at me in all that time has ever come to pass, you know. And I don't think, you know, I'll never be selling bridge, oranges at the end of the hall of ramp, or, you know, living under the bridge. And I need to remember what it says. I think it's on page like 559, where it says, we're taught to differentiate between our wants, which are never satisfied, and our needs, which are always provided for. And when I look back at my life, maybe it wasn't exactly the way I wanted it all the time. And let's face it, if I got everything I wanted, I'd just want more when I was done with that. but my needs are always taken care of. And that's the thing that's really come to me, is the faith, the program slowly got me to understand. It started with faith in program. It started with faith in my fellows, that then made it to a point where I have a faith in a higher power that's got my back. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John Kay. Karen R., you're next, and then I'll take a new grouping. Please go ahead, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen R., compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimia, recovering in North Carolina. What a beautiful meeting. I mean, I'm loving this sentence. You know, we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And to me, that ties in with God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Every time I work my 10th step, share it with another, it just seems like there is a higher power involved, because I'm shown things, I learn things, I see how my experience can benefit the person on the phone, and I see how the person on the phone's experience can benefit me. It's always this really cool interaction. You know, maybe that was there before too, but I'm really, really seeing it now. Like, I'm seeing how my life is in the care of my higher power, the care. It feels right. It feels like I'm on the right path. I've seen miracles since coming into this program. I've seen when I made amends to my autistic son, I've seen changes since then. I've seen him actually, he's pretty much nonverbal, but I've seen him after doing a 10-step on my back porch with him on his iPad upstairs, I come in and I saw him come down and communicate to me that I need to forgive myself. Now, where is that any of my doing? That is higher power. That is something amazing. So this regret I had of the past, of things that I went through and had done, that I regretted with my son, has been erased. The pain is no longer there. I have forgiven myself. He has told me to forgive myself. And this is a person who is challenged with speaking. I mean, it blows me away what happens. And I hope this experience can help others that are listening. This has gone beyond anything I could have thought up. And it usually does. When I work this program, I get spiritual gifts at the other end. So I'll close with that. Thank you for allowing me to share, and everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you, Karen R. All right. This is Gina R. I love being confused with Sylvia. She's very dear to me. We are on page 83, the fourth paragraph. If we are painstaking, and we're commenting over on page 84, starting on the eighth sentence, self-seeking will slip away through fear of people, and economic insecurity will leave us. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Jen A.
Lisa J. R.
Robin P.
Lynn S.
Patty T.
Marilyn T.
Elaine, sure, if there's time.
Vanessa? Okay, let's stop there. Hold on. Let me tell you who I've got. All right, here's what I've got. I think I missed the very last person, and I think that's as far as we'll be able to go. I've got Jen A., Lisa J.R., Robin P., Lynn S., I think it was Patty T., Marilyn T., Elaine B., Vanessa, not sure, and then there was someone else.
Jordan,
who have I missed? It was Jordan L? Okay. All right, we're going to stop there. All right, so Jen A., you're next, followed by Lisa J.R. Please go ahead, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you, Gina. Thanks for your service. This is Jen A., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Colorado. Love these promises, right? And I remember this was my first meeting face-to-face, is that a gentleman right across from me opened up his big book, and he read these ninth-step promises. And I was there because I didn't want to die. I had no idea that, you know, that my life was unmanageable and that I had a problem with food. I just knew I didn't want to die. And this was where people had sent me because they told me I would find a solution here. So as he read these promises, I thought, oh, my gosh, really? Like, this could happen to me? Nobody's ever promised me anything. Like, I've been to every diet club in America and tried everything, and I always end up going, getting fat and being miserable again. And mind you, hear what I said. I went into these rooms looking for a solution to stay heroin thin. That was why I went in there. I didn't want to die from how I was treating my body, but this is what I wanted. And I went in there and dieted with group support for 11 months. And I thought that these promises would still come true. But what I came to realize, I had to work in these 12 steps. I had to surrender my life over to something bigger than me to do it. I don't get these promises because I show up to meetings and because I share and because I, you know, I read and do these other things. No, that's not how I get the promises. The promises come because God has now given me an awareness. Right? And I'm seeking him. I'm seeking his knowledge and what he wants for me in my life. And so, and that's asking, right? All this before that we've been talking about willingness, asking. That's what asking is. Being aware. God's given me an awareness through these 12 steps in this practical program of action to seek him, to surrender to him. And then he will give me the knowledge of how to carry it out. And then that's how my self-seeking slips away. I'm no longer worried about me. I'm no longer worried about being heroin thin anymore. I'm no longer worried about financial insecurity. God has got my back. I am no longer worried about all these things. But if I do, I now have an indicator light that comes on in my brain. My indicator light when I came into this program was completely burnt out. It didn't even exist. Today, that indicator light shines bright. Why? Because I stay in 10, 11, and 12, continuing, improving, and practicing this practical program of action. And I am not going to let up because that light shines so bright. It is amazing. And that light comes on and says, ah, fear, selfish, self-seeking, dishonesty. Like, what are the actions you're taking, Jennifer Marie? What are your attitudes? What is the delusion? What is the story you're telling yourself in this situation? What is my part? And then that way I can go and figure out with God what it is that's blocking me from him, ask him to remove it, and pray, Lord, help me to be help me to just go out and be of service to you and your kids. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Lisa J.R., you're next, followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you so much for your service, moderator, and thanks, everybody, for being on the line. It's Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered from Baltimore. From fear of people and economic insecurity right down to God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. When I, about 10 years ago when I came into, before I came into program, I had a client die suddenly on me. And because of the nature of the business I was in, you know, just the daily expenses put me into about $100,000 worth of debt in a month. And, you know, I was such a martyr to appearances that, and such a slave to looking a certain way and being perceived a certain way that, you know, I put my head down and my ass up and I plowed, took three jobs. I was driving a dump truck at night to pay off the debt that had accumulated over this tragedy. And, you know, I felt really good. I didn't do it because I was doing the right thing. I did it because, boy, if I didn't do it, I'd look like a real creep for defaulting on all this debt. So, you know, flash forward into the disease, you know, and as the disease got real stronghold in my life, I was beginning to get sloppy with my money again. After having dug my way out of debt, once again, I'm rolling, I'm sitting fat and sassy and start spending money the way I shouldn't and not taking care of bills. I heard somebody that I really related to earlier talk about the same thing. And, you know, I wouldn't open bills. I'd just throw them on a stack. And I came into this program and integrity took on a new meaning for me. God, I just laid it at God's feet and said, show me what to do. Show me how to do the right thing, God, because I can't even make heads nor tails of it. And again, you know, out of the first time it was out of self-propulsion, I'm going to pay this debt off and I'm going to show everybody what a person of integrity I am. And this time it was a paradigm shift. This time I did it quietly. I did it because it was the right thing. And now I have an awareness that God consciousness that we get from work and program has given me a way of handling situations that used to baffle me. So that fear of economic security is a promise that I dearly love now, because I am, instead of pretending to be a woman of integrity, I'm working the steps, and the steps and my higher power have helped me become a woman of integrity. For the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. Robin P., you're next, followed by Lynn S. Please go ahead, Robin.
Hi, everybody. Hi, I'm Robin. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thanks so much for all of your shares. Oh, my goodness. And thank you for moderating. You know, it's amazing to me because I'm a serial inventor. I invent several things, and it's to bring a new product into the world. Fear of economic insecurity, you know, it's can become baffling, you know. And you know, there's investment. There's a whole bunch of parts of this, you know, waiting for people to catch up to some things, and manufacturing. There's just so much faith that goes into this, and I believe that God gave me this gift. So that I could really grow in my faith, because it really, really makes me have to grow. And, you know, I believe that God gives everybody their gifts for a reason. And I really believe that that I get to really be diligent. And, you know, in the book it says, you know, we have to be faithful 24 hours a day. We have to have a faith that works 24/7 or we perish. That's very strong languaging. And when it says fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us, that's a promise from working the steps. And I grew up in so much child abuse and in so much economic deprivation that for me to be doing what I'm doing today is literally, in my life, proof that there is a God that works in my life. And I'm not hiding today. And, you know, I showed up yesterday to a meeting because of this program with a manufacturer who's created a bunch of issues and really just horrendous challenges until now. And I showed up and there were blessings that happened. And the power of this program and the recovery and doing a 10th step before on my way there, you know, another one. I've done several on this subject, but, I did another one and just kept keeping my side of the slate clean gives me the opportunity to let the promises come true in my life and for the light to shine through me and for God to be able to use my gifts for good, you know, instead of that feeling of self-pity and uselessness will leave us. You know, I have hope today. I have faith today in a faith that works in a God that I didn't believe in when I came to this program, that God was the least important relationship in my life and now is the most important relationship in my life. And I get to keep showing up one day at a time, abstinently, being of service to God and my fellows, and allowing my light to shine and not hiding from people. God, I was so afraid of people. It was such a disease of isolation. And I still work through that, but I work through it. That's the grace here, is that we get to work through it. So thank you so much. God bless everybody in your recoveries. And thanks so much for moderating. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Lynn S., you're next, followed by Patty T. Please go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, thank you. This is Lynn S., but I'm having a seniors moment, and I lost my share, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. All right. So, Patty T., you're up next, followed by Marilyn T. Patty, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Patty T., recovered in Southern California. Thank you, Gina, for your service, and thank you, everybody, for these shares this morning. You know, I am that person who ate herself to bankruptcy before I came into this program. I literally ate myself to bankruptcy. And it still took me 10 more years to get to these rooms. That's sad but true, but, you know, I made it. And these promises remind me, as I read them, of everything that my life looked like before I came into these rooms. In fact, I woke up this morning in a tremendous amount of physical pain and a huge resentment toward my dogs who barked all night at some creature, you know, outside in my yard. And so I didn't get enough sleep. And when I don't get enough sleep, my muscles tense and whatever. And I woke up and I had this huge resentment. I thought, oh, I got to do a 10th step. And then I thought, I've got to pray. And I did. I asked God to show me the very next step. What's the next right action? And so I took a hot bath and I got my foam roller out and I stretched as I listened to the first part of this meeting. And I'm standing here out of with no pain, because I'm reminded what my sponsor told me during my fifth step is I demanded to know from her, how do I change my life? That's all I want to know from you. And she said, you acknowledge, you accept, you turn it over, and you go help somebody else. And thank God I know that formula today. And I pray that I never forget it, because today, I'm living in a different world. I am not afraid of financial insecurity. I'm not afraid of people. I'm just so grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Marilyn T., you're up next, followed by Elaine B. Please go ahead, Marilyn.
Hi. Thanks, Gina. This is Marilyn T. in Northern California. And I'm just kind of broad. I was praying this morning, and this is what was so funny that this is what we were reading. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change, and fear of people and economic insecurities will leave us. I'd like to concentrate on the people. For me, I, had a thing happen yesterday where I think I jumped ahead in my steps and helped someone with a 10 step, but I'm not quite at the 10th step. And what I realized was that sometimes I change my behavior to be acceptable to other people. And I think that's self-seeking. I have to find a way to be authentic and yet still be respectful of other people and how they see things. Used to think I was a very good at relationships, but I'm thinking that I bulldozed my way through life with personality and forcefulness. And I am being brought to acknowledge that that is not good behaviors or character defects. But my higher power, who I call God, has the best personality, and he has a way of getting me to see something, usually in the shower, is interestingly enough, but or by faux pas, where I say something and read too fast and leave out the word quickly. I mean, if that isn't God saying, hey, you're reading too fast, slow down, I don't know what is. But all of this makes me a better person so that I can better do my higher power's will, so that I can become a better person and better contribute to society and be freed of this disease on a daily basis by continuing working this program and unblocking myself to my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Elaine B., you're up next, followed by Vanessa. Please go ahead, Elaine.
Thank you so much for your service, Gina. I appreciate you. So I call this the great bait and switch. So, you know, we realized that selfishness was the root of our problems as we began to read about the director and the ways we tried to run life ourselves. And that motivation to try to get things the way that we want begins to slowly change as we let go of our death grip on life and our way. And yet in step 11, we're instructed, 10 and 11, we're instructed to always be on the lookout for this. So it's not that they're gone, but they do begin to slip away. And when does that happen? Halfway through the ninth step, because, you know, the first three steps is about getting my connection with God better, right? And when I do that, this great bait and switch happens, which is on page 42, the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems, not just my food problem. And here they are, they're doing it. And so in steps 4 and 5, I get right with my, six and seven, I get right with myself. With 8 and 9, okay, this was all just me and God and my sponsor right in the background and some people that I call to the program who get it, but now I got to go and face the world. Now I got to go and face my creditors. Now I got to go and face those people whose toes I smushed and crunched when I was stepping on the toes of my fellows. And that's scary business. But the thing is that I have been working on and entrusting my life to a power greater than myself. So I love somebody says when your problems tell you how big they are, you tell them how big your God is. And so it's like little me with a great, big, higher power. I am not alone. For me, my higher power is the source of all strength, all wisdom, all finances, owns everything, and loves and cares for me. And so if I begin to seek God's will instead of my own, different things start to come to mind. Now, I'm still, you know, I can still get into self-seeking. I did three huge 10 steps on it yesterday, but at the end of the day, I had a new outlook. And you know what? That would have taken me months or even years before. Now it's one day. It'll slip away. My fear of people, my economic insecurity was part of it. I have a new outlook and I have a higher power and I have the help I can lean into for ease and comfort. I don't need to turn to the food. I don't need to run the show. I can let go of all my marbles, put my hand in God's and walk on. And you can too. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. And we have got 2 minutes left. So, Vanessa, you can take the 2 minutes, or if you'd like to split the time with Jordan, that's up to you. Let me know.
I can split the time with Jordan.
Okay, I'll time you for 1 minute. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Vanessa V. in Oregon, recovering. This is a perfect reading for me this morning. I have worked insanely hard for 4.5 years on a project. I'm an artist, so economic insecurity is kind of the water I breathe sometimes. But, you know, after those years of work, I started to get an idea of what I thought, you know, my higher power was going to do on the other side of that. And I don't know yet. But so self-seeking is very much in the front of my mind. I'm going to a meeting in about an hour. Where I'm going to learn a bunch of information and probably a lot of it I'm not going to want to hear. So that fear of people, I grew up and, you know, raised by wolves a little bit. And the tendency in my family was, you know, if you were down by the world, you were a target. You know, we used to joke, you know, our family could, you know, was sensitive to iron rich vulnerability.
There's 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, I'll get off, but I'm going to be talking to God today the best I can, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Jordan, please take the last minute.
Thanks, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Jordan Allen. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I just wanted to say a couple of things. That fear of people, I had to start working on that one right away. Like I remember back in steps 2 and 3, a couple of months ago, when I was in those steps, I had to start, letting that guard down and tearing down some of those walls. And it's not like the fear of people is completely gone or anything like that, but in order to get closer to my higher power, I had to be willing to get closer to other people. and the economic security, I don't have like a whole lot of insight into that other Fine. Than some of that grandiose thinking has gone away. I don't need to be the richest person in the world in order to be happy anymore. So that's it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That will be our last share for today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christine M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Christine, press star 1. Christine, are you there? Not hearing you. Christine?
Hi, this is a different Christine M. If the original one isn't there, I'd be happy to read page 164.
Sure, go ahead. I hear Christine there. Please go ahead, Christine. Christine M., who's to read our second reader today, please read page 164.
Gina, this is Penny. Do you want me to pick it up?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day with a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.